Hi, everybody.
Hi, Blair.
Hi, Sherry. Faith. Hi, Narayan. Hi, Sonny.
Hi, Blair.
Hi, everyone.
How are you?
Hi, Faith.
How is everybody?
Good, good. How are you?
Very well. What's the latest news in Nepal, Sonny?
Latest news, we are screening our integrity icons reaching top 5 next week. So it's been a very hectic week, especially for Suresh and Ashmita this week.
Mm.
Yeah.
Amazing. Have we got some good candidates?
Yes, yes. Very
excellent.
Yeah, we're very excited. Like new participants, you know, like we have one blind teacher who's been doing really well. So his story is very exciting when we hear it.
Excellent.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah, if he reaches top 5.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And how's everything in South Africa, Faith?
Going well. We are leaving on Sunday to film our next two icons. good, really good stories. Yeah, we found some amazing icons, and our film fellows are really enjoying the experience and making their own stories on their mobile film kits as well. So it's going very well.
Excellent. Good stuff. And I think we've got Ale on the call. Thanks for joining, Ale, from our global book board.
Of course. Sorry for being late.
No, you're not late at all.
All right. Good to see you guys.
We'll start in just a minute. We'll give others a little bit of time to join.
No problem. Is it only us for now?
Sorry?
Who's on?
We have Jean and Sherry in DC, yourself, Faith in South Africa, Narayan, who I think is in Texas at the moment still. Narayan, are you there? On mute, maybe? And Sonny in Nepal.
All right, global team. Love it.
Hi guys, Naren here. I was muted. Sorry.
Hi, Narayan.
Hi there.
Narayan, when are you heading back to Nepal?
So I'm heading back on 15th this month.
Okay.
In a few days.
Monday. Okay. Great. Okay. Cool. Well, let's wait another minute or so, and then we'll get into it. And Sonny, I think, is going to present today, and so we're excited to hear from you, Sonny. Why don't I give you a quick update at the global level in the meantime?
Yeah, sure.
So this month, I think things have been really busy around the world as usual. The Integrity Icon rebrand happened, as you all know. Sheena and the rest of the team did an amazing job on that. We also launched nominations for Integrity Icon in Liberia. We're launching them today, I hope, in Pakistan. And then all the other countries are underway at different stages, which is great. Tons of interest. In it, as usual. We also launched it in Mexico. I was there with Eva, who's running our programs there, and there was also a lot of interest, and I think it's going to be big, so that's really exciting. We've been doing a lot of learning internally. You may have seen a blog by Sonny on our quarterly reviews in Nepal, which was great. Another by Sherry on some of the learnings from our Real Peace film project in Liberia. Also concluded this month. So a big piece is, as always, I hope, on sort of organizational learning and how we can grow and improve and share what we're doing with others to help them improve too. In the US, we've been really working with our board closely. We've had committee calls. We've got a big board meeting coming up soon. We've brought in 3 new board members in the last quarter who are all really, really exciting and bring us some fantastic skills. So we're putting all the bits and pieces in place, I think, and continuing to move along very nicely. Sherry and Jean, I don't know if there's other things you want to add.
No, I think you covered the biggest parts, Blair. I just have an announcement from Jean, who's currently on mute because she's commuting. She just wanted me to remind the teams that this is a time to round off their Q2 board meetings and all of the country teams, and to finish up the mid-year planning financially.
Yes. Excellent. Country directors here on the call. I know Ode is joined now, and Ryan. Please, let's be in touch on all of this. I think we also now have Baktawa from Pakistan and Dasuba from Mali, Anode from Nigeria, and Sheena on the call. Awesome. So I think we have a quorum. So let's hand it over to Sonny and hear from her. Sonny, please.
I think Sherry is going to start.
I don't have any big start, but just to say that I had for a while about some of the learning components they've been incrementally building in Nepal and doing really well at it. And I think there's a lot of learning for our other teams from it. One of the things they instituted that is actually huge is their quarterly review. In addition to that, they have multiple team meetings as well, other smaller unit meetings where they try to bring people together to just regroup on where they're standing with projects and to also get to a point where they can be open and honest about what's working and not what's not working well. And over the last year or so of seeing Sony implementing all of these things, what I found is that they ultimately get better at their decision-making, firstly, because they're all on the same page. Also on an operations level, the structures they've put in place are growing their team in a way that is sustainable in terms of their programs because they are now at a place where there's closer communication between, for example, the programmatic staff and the finance staff. And so they can get better at forecasting and planning their activities around what's actually working in the field. And so for these and many other reasons, I'm really excited for us to learn a little bit more about the quarterly reviews and the other things that Sony have put in place in Nepal. And I hope that the other teams can learn from this as well. They're really striving to get better at their programs all the time, to stay on top of it financially, to stay on top of it in terms of program deliverables. And I know that Sony and the teams have also taken it upon themselves to really strive for gender equity. And they often also reflect on how they're getting a gender balance in their program and how they're making things inclusive to make sure that when we invite women to participate in programs, that we actually create a space where that is possible. So just with that short intro, I'm really as excited as you are to hear from Sony because I know that they're doing terrific work, much like the other teams. And I know there's so much we can learn from the system she's put in place. Over to you, Sony.
Thank you, Sherry. I'll just share the slide. Can you all see it?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
Sorry, I think there's some connection issues. Can you all hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. I think if everyone can just, when they're not speaking, put themselves on mute because there's like a little bit of background noise.
So yeah, I'll just start. Good evening, everyone from Nepal. Yeah, as Sherry mentioned, I'll be sharing about why learning as we grow is very important and what has worked for us in Nepal and why it has been helpful for us. I'll not take more than 20 minutes because we want to make this an exchange call between the country teams on the learning process and what are the opportunities and challenges on it in each country teams. So to begin with, I will highlight how our organization has evolved over time and why learning mechanisms also evolve and also need to evolve as we grow. As Suresh is here, he always like mentions how our organization was a very small organization in the very beginning. He always says that we could just fit our organization in one bag at that point of time. And it has grown significantly over the years. Like we have 14 full-time staff now, and we have 11 CFAs working with us and 7 ambassadors with them. And we are covering 7 districts and covering 4 provinces of Nepal. So in the initial stage, it was normal for the Nepal team to focus on the work we do, because it was very important to highlight what we are doing is important and it is going to make a difference in the community we are working in. For instance, when we started Integrity Idol in Nepal back in 2014, people didn't believe that we could even find a single, you know, honest government official in Nepal. But now we can see the campaign growing and it has reached 10 countries. In terms of Nepal, when we go back to the learnings, initially we were focused on doing good things and like setting our name there. But we also like looking at how we can measure our impact. And we had done some impact assessments through external evaluators. For instance, we had done our accountability incubator impact assessment in the year 2017, which really provided a very good feedback around what our accountrepreneurs are, you know, looking for, what are their challenges, and from a third eye perspective. And it was very important to us. And that feedback, that kind of feedback was really helpful for us to design our accountability incubator program further. And we've also taken it into consideration when we were building our accountability incubator handbook. And now as we are growing and we have like a lot of projects, and but we still have a small team compared to the programs we do. And it has been really important for us to, like, you know, capture our day-to-day learnings, because that's where we can figure out what is working and what's not working and what are difficulties that program team is facing, because they are the ones who are like struggling with day-to-day work. And I think it's very important for us to, you know, like reflect on what our day-to-day challenges are and to capture our day-to-day learnings, what are our opportunities, what are the feedback that people are giving to us, and these things are equally important. So yeah, but when we say it's important to capture our day-to-day learning, there are like significant challenges when it comes to it, because we are a small team again, and there's a lot of things to do on ground, and we have like a limited time, and we have donors' timeline, and we have to like reach our deliverables. But it's challenging. But I think we should also focus on like trying to capture our learning as much as we can. So it's like we have our bi-weekly meetings in place. We come together, we discuss our challenges, our updates, which needs to be overcome like in a very short span of time. But we don't get to, you know, during these meetings, we don't get to do an in-depth reflection on things like why we are doing certain things that we are doing. Are we like reaching our goal? Are we reaching our vision? So we felt like having a weekly update was not enough. And we wanted something like quarterly review that could help us to reflect, go in depth and reflect more about the programs that we are doing. So we designed quarterly review, and Stephanie is there. She was like very helpful, and she supervised me especially in like how we can do this and how we can make it work. And we started this quarterly reviews like last year. And how we do this quarterly reviews is like we prepare all the program teams, they prepare in advance. We have like a template where each program team comes up with their, you know, activities, what they have done in past 3 months, what are their challenges, what are their impact stories, and if they are in the budget line or not, and everything. So, and in one day, we just have a half day, we just think of nothing and we just come together, and everyone, like all the program teams, get an opportunity to present like whatever they have done. And they present like their key updates, challenges, and what are their impact stories and what feedback they have been getting from people. So it's just about reflection, that half day we allocated for it. And and our like finance manager, our CEO, and branding manager, everyone gets an opportunity to ask them questions and provide them feedback on how they're going and what things they need to improve. And again, all the staff members also get an opportunity to give the feedback, and they also get updated on all the projects that happening
happening in the organization. And it's very important because whenever, you know, like if a person from Integrity Icon team goes to an event, they have to represent the whole organization. And it's very important for them to know, you know, what's happening in the organization and what are the recent updates, so that when they go out and share it with people, we all are in the same page when we go out and share what we've been doing out with the people. And the team responds to all the questions and feedback that they get throughout this process, and also plan a way forward during the review. So yeah, it has been very helpful for us because it gives us a sense on how we are progressing in our programs, because, you know, like we always tend to overpromise when we write proposals because we need to get the grants. But sometimes it becomes very challenging when it comes to the program teams to meet the deliverables on time. So, for instance, I would like to give an example. In our Citizen Help Desk program, because migration is a very, you know, decentralized issue in Nepal, because all the redressal mechanisms are in the center, in the capital city. And, you know, like migrant workers or at local levels on rural paths find it very difficult to access those services. So what we are trying to do through that program is we're trying to form a network of migrant workers where they can go to their local level, local government units, and like to raise their voice and get support from there. So while forming this migrant workers group, it was challenging in the beginning to convince them to join this movement. And it took a bit longer than what we had expected when we wrote the proposal. But now, because the groups were formed late, now the activities which are ahead of it also gets pushed back. So we need to track those activities and track how we are going ahead in the remaining months, because we're already a month late from what we had promised to the donor. So the quarterly reviews help us in tracking this and how we can plan our way forward. The second point that we found, quarterly reviews are a very helpful mechanism because it helps us discuss challenges openly. As Sherry mentioned, this brings us to like open up and discuss our challenges openly, because what happens mostly is like when we try to convince a donor, we try to just say like, okay, things are working, but as a team, we need to reflect on those and understand what's not working, and we need to discuss in the team and we need to go ahead with it. And I think this is also helpful because we can also inform the donors timely if we think it's not working, and they'll also understand it rather than going at the end and saying, okay, what we did was perfect and everything worked out. So it's very important. And for example, I would like to give you is, in Nepal, there's always been like conflict between political leaders and bureaucrats because their sentiments don't align. And when we come and discuss here, we decided in our citizen help desks, we decided how we can bring political leaders and bureaucrats together in front of citizens during the town hall meetings. And they need to come to a point where they agree, and even citizens appreciate that. So it's very important to, come together and discuss as a group about how we can overcome the problems that are arising in the field. And also, we also kind of figure out what can be our next opportunities. And this is also helpful to, grow our programs, because when we discuss about opportunities, we can brainstorm the ideas around what we can improve in the programs and what feedback we have received on the grant. For instance, like when we were discussing about what are the feedback that young government officials are giving on the ground, was like they wanted to be a part of Integrity Icon campaign, but they were not eligible to become like Integrity Icons because they didn't have like 5 years of work experience in the government system. So what we came up with another idea. It was like Integrity School, where all the young government officials can come together and build their own support mechanism on, you know, practicing integrity in their government service. So it's very important to, you know, capture these opportunities based on the feedback what we've been receiving, because if we don't capture it, we'll miss on what we could do better. So yeah, and another important part that we figured out from our quarterly reviews was like, it's very important to capture impact, and quarterly reviews are like a good way on helping us to capture impact. In the field, there are small things happening, and if we don't like think of it or reflect on it, maybe we can just miss it. So we need to like reflect on what is happening on field, and also especially focus on our informal conversations that happens in field. For example, when it comes to our community frontline associates, they go out to the field and they talk to people and they send a certain amount of reports, but maybe they are not highlighting all the small details that is there in the field. For instance, once what happened was like, one of our CFA had mentioned to our colleague that, you know, some of the people who are not working in, where we were not working, the community where we're not working in, they came to know about our program through some radio show, through our radio programs, and they came in and joined our like town hall meetings. But if we had not talked to our CFA about it informally, and if we had not captured it, it was a great impact, because our radio programs were being like listened in the communities that we're not working in, and people there were interested in our programs and they came in and joined us. So it was a significant impact, but if we had not captured it on time, we could have missed it. So it has been very useful on measuring the small impact. And we feel like sometimes we cannot go on about it every week or every month, but when we sit along after a few months, and we can do that, you know, it's not very difficult to capture the small impacts. So another important point is like, because we're a small organization and we have like people with different skill sets, and even though we are divided across projects, but we also have to, you know, sometimes jump in one place for another. For example, if someone has a very good editing skills, that person has to run everywhere, and sometimes another person has a very good, you know, like Nepali writing skills, then he has to jump everywhere. So that's how it works in a small organization like ours, but we need to capture who is needed where at what point of time. And this quarterly reviews gives us a sense, you know, like, okay, now next 3 months we are going to do this, and this program team needs the skill sets and needs time of these particular people. Then that's very helpful for us to like every individual to even define where I'm needed and where I need to go, and like how I can plan my work ahead at individual level. So it's important when it comes to skill sets, and also important when if to see if we are in line with different departments. For example, if like communication team is in line with the integrity icon team. For example, now our film screening is going to begin soon, and the communication team is also overwhelmed with like the citizen help desk's work. But now when they know how they can manage. So it's very important to have this interdepartmental communications, and we feel like quarterly reviews help us, you know, even reflect on it, and if to see if we can make it work and how it can work. And another important thing was like revisiting our vision, because as a small organization, we all know that it's very important for us to, you know, like we apply for various grants and we try to tweak in our ideas, but we should be sure that we are not like, you know, deviating from our long-term vision and how we are working on it, and how our ideas are also still aligning with it. And we always, you know, we always during our quarterly reviews, we have been reflecting on why we are doing certain things. And it's like always a question of, are we ourselves as a team convinced on the things we are doing, rather than, you know, just doing what we are doing because we've just written it in proposals, but we also feel like it's very equally important for people to be convinced, and we are also like reaching our vision through what we are doing. So we always keep on reflecting on that. And yeah, and quarterly reviews have been a very, very, you know, holistic, and the main part is like, it has been a very holistic learning process, because learning only does not mean a single thing. Like, it is not only about like highlighting challenges, or it's not, it is not only about figuring out opportunities. It's about like this holistic thing about like highlighting challenges, opportunities, feedback, what can be the next steps, how we can go ahead as an organization, how we can strategize our plans, and how, what are our next steps and everything. So this enhancing you know, collaboration and learning in our team has been like the quarterly reviews has been very helpful with regard to it. So yeah, it quarterly reviews has its own incentives, its own challenges, and it even has certain limitations that I think we need to highlight it here. So getting feedback on the work you are doing is always important, because when you are doing certain things, you are going on a certain direction at your own level. But when you get feedback from others, you also think from a different perspective. And during our quarterly reviews, when people question, you are like, oh, I not even thought about it, the things you are saying. So it's very important. And I think this is also an encouraging factor for the team to do more, and also to like, also get appreciated for what they are doing, and also to do better in the future. So that has been really helpful. And also like discussing challenges, because sometimes we just don't talk about the challenges that we're facing. And but it's really important to be open about the challenges and what's going right, what's going wrong. And this gives an open space for people to do that. And we discuss it like openly, which is very important. And there are challenges with regard to quarterly reviews, like, because even though we allocate a certain time, sometimes it might get pushed back because there are other priorities that come in. Because, for instance, when we have Integrity Icon Award ceremony, it's like impossible for me to like arrange our quarterly reviews, because it's become very challenging at that point of time, because people are not, you know, mentally prepared to do it, because they have so much of work and they're so overwhelmed with work they do. Sometimes it can get pushed back, and also external deadlines, like sometimes donor reports and some other deadlines, can also like make it push back. But we try to bring it on track. And the limitations with quarterly reviews, one significant limitation that I would like to highlight is, like, until now what we face, what we can work on it is, you know, because we do it like quarterly, okay, it's January, February, March, and then April, May, June. But the program timeline might not be same, because our CHD program, which is affiliated with migration, started from November. So it can be pushed back. So we were also thinking with like last time when we had discussion with Jean, we are also thinking of, you know, like managing an MEL plan separately, maybe even quarterly reviews separately for each program team in 3 months. That can be a better alternative. So that's what we're also thinking, and we're also looking forward to it, like to see if it works or how it works. So that's all, and we can like continue with our discussion. And thank you Sherry. Thank you all.
Thanks so much, Sonny, for that great presentation, and for also highlighting a number of examples where this has been helpful to your team. Yeah, I think with that, if there are any questions for Sonny, I know that you would like for this to be an interactive conversation, and to also hear if there are others who have thoughts and ideas that you guys have tried that have hurt, that have worked in your country teams, or questions around how they're implementing this, please feel free to jump in.
Hi, Sonny. I have a question. This is Blair. Thank you. That was really, really interesting. And obviously, you completely understand the value of learning and why all of this is important. But as you pointed out, this has to be a collective effort, and we need all of our teams, everybody in all of our organizations, to understand this and to value it How do you, if people don't quite understand this, how do you encourage them? How do you get them thinking in this way and to develop the learning mindsets and to collect the information or even synthesize information in ways that will help you and the organizations improve and get better? Are there, I mean, obviously there's quarterly reviews, there's these discussions, but are there other ways to encourage and motivate them to make sure that learning is really at the top of their minds?
Yeah, one of the most important thing that I've come across during our group discussions after like they fill in these templates that we have for quarterly reviews is like, you know, like people tend to forget what they have done. And when they write our quarterly reviews, they realize, oh my God, I've done like so much of work, you know, because they had not thought about it before. And they become happy about, okay, I'm also reflecting on what I've done in the past 3 months, and that incentivizes themselves. And also another key is that, you know, when we have these quarterly reviews in place and we have all these impact stories in place, it becomes very easy to write the donor reports because we can just take in things from there and copy paste it. And it becomes really motivating for the team to do it. So they find it encouraging and they are happy with it because they also get to reflect on what they've done and also get the feedback.
Great.
Yeah.
Sonia, I have one question. So I know that you mentioned that scheduling can sometimes be tough, especially during busy periods, and sometimes the reviews and things need to get pushed back. What's been your strategy? Have you sort of tried to create a calendar and like set aside like dates of quarterly reviews well in advance and at least try to stick to them? Or how have you sort of tried to get this on the calendar for everyone?
Because we are still a small organization, we have not been like that organized, but because I know, you know, like the peak periods, because I'm involved in almost all the programs, especially, and then I try to figure out like what's a good time rather than like me putting on, okay, this is the quarterly review. I try to figure out when the peak periods of the programs are and when we can do it so that everyone has enough time to do the reflection. I just don't like, because we didn't do it in March, but we did it in April, even though we were supposed to do it in March, because there were like our staffs, all the staff were not there in the office, and you know, all the staff were not there in the office, and also, you know, some of them were traveling and everything, so we had to like push it back to April. So sometimes we need to, you know, like see how the program teams are working and where it is. So it's not been like that organized, but I'm like trying to figure out where the space is and like allocate to the quarterly reviews that way.
So it seems like you take a look at all of the program cycles and try to avoid the peak areas.
Yeah, so we have to do that. Yeah.
Hey, Sony.
Hi, yeah.
Can I ask? Yeah, I'm Bakhtav from Pakistan Accountability Lab. The introduction Sherry gave, she mentioned that you are practicing gender equity in your organization. And what sort of mindsets have you faced and how have you coped up with those challenges? And how have you shown your practices as a gender equitable organization?
Yeah, it was very challenging for us in the very beginning, but we know, because in all the programs that we are doing, we try to see how we can like work on gender. For instance, in Citizen Help Desk, we already have like, you know, like mini meetings where our community frontline associates, they go in the communities and talk to females in smaller groups. And, you know, we try to ensure, because we are not an organization which are completely focused on gender, but we need to be gender sensitive. So in each of the programs, we try to like explore how we can have gender equity, even in like Integrity Icon. It has been very, very challenging for us to get like female nominations, but we've been trying to, you know, explore the ways where we can like get more nominations for the female candidates. For instance, we're trying to reach, because Along with the process, we have also figured out there are like a lot more female government officials at local levels, but as a small organization, we, even though we have expanded a lot, we also need to reach at the local levels where we can collect, where we can get more nominations from and where we can increase our outreach. So we are trying to be more gender sensitive in everything we do, like rather than just focusing on gender, we're all trying to be gender sensitive in every programs that we are doing.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Hi, Narayan here. Just to add on what Sony mentioned about gender stuff. We and Sony, Asmita, and some other person in our team also working on developing a gender, whatever, gender sensitive strategy within the organization. It's not just about like how we prioritize gender within our programs, let's say Integrity, IGON, and Citizen Helpdesk, whatever, but also within the organization. So how do we practice these things? And what are our mitigation strategy or our resilience towards, gender insensitive activities? So, how we deal with any events that might potentially happen within the organizations in the future. So, Sony, if you guys have thoughts, anything around that, you may also share. This would be helpful for others.
Yeah, so we have, for now, we have like 3 people in our team, like 2 females and 1 male. We have not reached that far, but we are trying to explore the ways where we can, we can be more gender sensitive, especially in like grievance handling mechanism. We want to focus on that in the very beginning. We want to see how we can like handle if there are any grievances from our staff, especially in terms of gender, and work on it. So we are like doing some background research on what other organizations have been practicing, and we want to implement that in our organization as well.
Hi everyone.
Hi Disuba.
Hi. And hi Suni, thank you so much for all the information that that you gave us. That was really helpful, and it's giving me a lot of ideas that we can probably implement here in Mali as well. I was just wondering if it's possible for you to share the templates that you guys are using. So the one that every project leader is filling out before the quarterly review.
Yeah.
Because I think that would be great if we maybe have some kind of, if we can just uniform the meal template that we are using in the organization, because I know that we have the template that we have to fill out for the donors, but I think that it will be great to have our own, like the one from Accountability Lab as well.
Yeah, sure. I can share it with you. And we also have already prepared one MEL handbook where we have highlighted the small things around our weekly meetings and, monthly meetings and how we can like track our progress. Certain things are working, certain things are not working, but we have tried to also bring everything in one place, and you can also find out like templates and everything there. I think like when Kate can share it after this discussion, I can hand it over to her and she can share it with everyone.
That would be amazing. Thank you so much.
Yeah, always.
Also, the one of the things that we recently discussed and now we are under practicing is we discussed about at some points, I don't know where, we discussed about keeping donors on the loop frequently, irrespective of, you have like report in every 6 months or end of the project or certain timeline for the donor. It is wiseful and also important to inform donor of an update. It could be on an email on a monthly basis, no matter donor wants the report as per that reporting format, but to really keep keep them informed, you know, what's been, you know, what's the latest updates, what's the latest challenges or exciting things, exciting news, you know, all kind of publications, media, etc., which we also discussed this in one of our review meeting, like how to keep our donor informed, how to, and then I think there's a monthly, like, you know, quick one pager with a nice photo, video, infographics, or some bullets to really keep the donors on the loop. Yeah. So the donor feels that, oh, these guys are really keeping us informed, and not just, you know, leading us to see the reports, like a lengthy reports at the end of the project periods. And often we found that we have a very cool donor, but for instance, the case of, you know, Humanity United, you know, we provide them every 6 month report, but we barely receive their feedback. And at the end of the year, and they suddenly ask question, which sometimes we even forget what we have written and what was our intention and the idea behind those things. So I think, you know, this kind of practice is also emerging through the discussion, like in the quarterly report review, and slowly it's going, you know, it's trying to happen there.
Yeah.
Hi, this is Ode here. Hello.
Hi, Ode. Yeah, I can hear you.
Hey. Cool. So I just wanted to find out the learnings for the Integrity School, which is being run by the Nepal team. Well, first of all, I must commend them for helping some of us set the pace. You guys have done a great job. But also the learnings from the Integrity School, how did you guys start, and what's the progress where you guys are at the moment?
Yeah, so we started Integrity School, as I already told in the presentation. We started Integrity School based on the feedback of the young government officials, because, you know, like, we could not engage them as much as we should and we could. So we came up with this idea, and in the beginning it was like very, very challenging for us to define, we've thought of this idea, but we don't know like what we want to give them. And we sat together, and we also had discussions with our icons on how we can like go ahead with our Integrity School, and we just came up with like basic, you know, ideas on how we can, what are the aspects that would be interesting for a scholar to come here to join our team. And we just had a certain programs, sessions organized for them, and then we have like taken feedback from them around how it has gone, and we are working on analyzing it, and we are also like planning to have a proper syllabus for the next coming cohort. And the learnings from Integrity School was, you know, like these people, when they come here, they just need a space to talk to each other. And we felt like the peer learning sessions that they had around discussing their own challenges was the most effective one. And another most effective thing was about the time they got to interact with the icons around the challenges they've been facing as young government officials, to know how, you know, the icons have already faced those challenges and have reached a certain position. So we feel like the peer learning and even their session with icons was like most appreciated. And we had like two sessions with icons, and they felt like they wanted to, you know, learn more from the icons. So we also have like assigned each scholar with a mentor whom they can like talk to like whenever they want and whenever they face challenges. So that's another way of their learning. They can like call them anytime or go and visit the icons who are like close by from them. And they can like, at least, you know, when they talk with them, they know like, at least they have someone to talk to, and they also have a supporting team through the school. So we feel like that was what has come out from the feedback.
Great stuff. Cool.
Yeah.
Sonia, I have another quick question.
Yeah.
Which sort of international networks or resources or people do you find really useful around learning that maybe our other teams should be part of? Are there any blogs or any people that you talk to or anything like that that you think others would benefit from?
So there's this Acumen courses, and there is like this DMNE, which also provides like this online sessions, and they are also, you know, helping us know if there are like other people in your own country who is like interested in learnings, and they also try to connect you to them. So I feel like until now I've been following these two groups because they have been providing free online courses, even though I've not been able to like completely finish any of it until now. But I feel like they provide very good resources. And if you're interested in learning, you should like definitely join that group. And they also have a Facebook group, which I've joined, where they share the, you know, like the learnings.
Sonia, if you add those, if you send through those links, and Katie can send it through in the roundup to everyone as well.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
Thank you. Great. If there aren't any more questions, Jean, Sheena, or Blair, are there any announcements from the global team?
No, I think that's it as far as I can think of. As Jean mentioned at the beginning, the country directors, let's get our quarterly board meetings done. You know, any kind of second quarter reviews in terms of performance or anything else that need to be done. We have a little bit of travel coming up in different ways. So stay tuned on that. Sherry and Eva from Nepal are going to be in Nepal soon, which is exciting. So I'm sure there'll be lots of follow-up on this with you too, Sonny, then. I'll be in Pakistan from Monday again, working with the team there. And let's just keep up the great work. We're doing really well. I think there's tons of traction. Integrity Icon is you know, growing and let's continue to learn around all of this. We're also working now to build a few more groups or communities within the organization to learn. So there's now an Integrity Icon managers group that Ashmita is leading, which is fantastic. I think we're also having a call coming up soon for the incubator managers. So this is all great stuff. Let's really make sure that we are learning from each other and consolidating that learning in ways that will allow us to improve across the world. So thank you. I think that's it for now, unless anyone else has anything else to add. And thank you, Sonny. That was really, really useful. And there's tons of resources, I think, that we can share after this that will be very helpful for everyone else.
Sure, I'll send them.
Great. Thank you, Sonny. As always, we will send around the link with the recording of the learning call and Sonny's presentation and some of the other resources that she mentioned. So have a good day and a good evening all.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye. Thank you. Bye-bye.